I don't care about anything enough to take my own life. Not you, your brother, not even the world. But I believe in prophecy. I believe in magic. And I know this in my bones. It has to be this way.
Ooh. I have no idea who that is.
All right, so this witch I've been wanting to do for a very long time, and this came at a very perfect time because I just finished this series. This witch is our Scottish redhead Rowena from Supernatural.
Ooh, so there's another redheaded witch out there.
There is. Are you familiar with Supernatural at all?
You know, I started it. I got to maybe about season 4 or 5. And then I always said, I'm going back to it. Well, here I am.
Well, I definitely took a break as well and then returned back and was able to finish the series off during quarantine. So I'm glad that I got to finish it. And this character just became such a fan favorite and one of my favorite characters of the entire series. So she had to be quoted on this show. Oh, I'm going to miss Supernatural as well. Anybody who is a fan of Supernatural may or may not know this quote, but again, she always has some very quick, witty, great things to say, and I like that her character grew on the show. So anybody who's a fan of Supernatural, definitely finish out the series. I think it's well worth it, but it is long. It's 15 seasons.
My God.
Yeah.
All right, so I think I should introduce the voice that you are hearing so far in this episode. You may recognize this voice from a previous episode, The Hills. I almost said The Hills
Have Eyes. Yeah, I was going to say that the other day, too.
The eyes have it. Welcome back, Ryan, to the show. Ryan, how are you doing?
Thank you so much for having me, Rob. I am doing very well. It's always a pleasure to talk about Charmed, especially season 6 of Charmed.
Very good. Well, people, this is somebody that I've gotten to know over the past year, and I currently work with him on his own podcast as well, so we do have a good rapport. He is a huge, huge fan of Charmed and loves talking about it, so just a heads up, I think you guys should all get used to this accent because I think he's going to be around for quite a while. Ryan, tell everyone about your show.
Well, thank you, Rob. The show is called the Radical Retro Rewind Podcast. And yes, Rob is many a guest star on. I like to call him a revolving co-host because he usually goes between Rob and my older brother, David. And the podcast is really, I want to say, an eclectic mix of yesterday, you know, 80s, 90s, anything nostalgia. It usually has weird, like maybe not common topics that you normally hear about when you hear about the 80s and the 90s. We try to do a few different like obscure movies and in between things like that as well.
Very well put. Yes. And as a listener to episodes that I am not on, I have to say that this show is such a fun ride to remember the yesteryears of my childhood. And I love every bit of it. I have been able to watch certain movies that I have never seen before because of this show. It's just a reminder of things that I need to watch. And so I suggest you guys check out this show. And Ryan, I definitely welcome you to Brunch with the Hollowells. Thank you so much for helping me out with today's episode.
Oh, you're so welcome. I am a huge fan of this podcast and Movie Geek and Proud. It is truly what motivated me to get into the podcasting field. So I have such love for this show and thank you for having me.
Of course. Of course. I'm very excited.
So let's get started. We are doing season 6, episode 3, Forget Me Not. The original air date was October 5th, 2003, written by Henry Alonzo Myers and directed by John T. Kretschmer. Guests include Rebecca Balding back as Elise Rothman. She has been missing for a little bit, I've noticed. And we have Kirk B. B.R. Waller and Darren Cooper as the cleaners, with Melissa Greenspan as Flo. This episode scored 5.8 million viewers. So this episode begins as the cleaners are after Wyatt. The sisters orb into the manor, but the cleaners appear. One of them teleports Wyatt to him, and the sisters call for Leo, but he can't do anything. The scene changes. Toys, playpen, baby clothes, and such disappear. The nursery is, again, a closet, and neither the sisters nor Leo know why Leo is here. The sisters have the feeling that they're forgetting something, and Piper and Leo hear a strange sound like a baby crying. Phoebe is doing her advice column from the basement, and because her new empathy power is driving her crazy, she has a cut on her head and doesn't remember how she got it. She then gets a call from Elise about an incident the previous day. Oh. She doesn't remember the incident at all. Okay, so let's start from the beginning. Let me just tell you that this episode is one of the most important episodes of Charmed to me in this series, because it is so frustrating to have characters like the cleaners exist after what happened in season three. And we will definitely get into it, but this just makes me so angry that they did not think ahead on this character, because it just raises so many questions. But right out the gate, Ryan, we've got, okay, first of all, I love when an episode of anything starts in the thick of things, when you're just immediately in the drama. And then you're like, why is this happening? What's going on? And then you're introduced to these characters. We don't know what's going on, but they're after Wyatt. It just starts off really strong and heavy. And then we get, in a magical way, a sort of a flashback. But I love the way that it starts. And if episodes can like go in different orders, I think that's great, right?
It's such a callback to All Hell Breaks Loose. Charmed and Dangerous, we're starting in the action. Yes, I love that.
Yes, I love that. And so we finally meet the cleaners. And these are beings who, honestly, the way that they describe themselves, which is, when magic is exposed, we come out and clean it up. First of all, love the name. They sound so gangster and just so under the radar, and just like, you don't mess around when the cleaners are here. Like, you've heard of a cleaner, you know?
Of course, of course.
I mean, they're no Olivia Pope, but at the same time, you know, like, they come in and they clean shit up, and I love that. But they clean up after magic has been exposed. Well, where the fuck were you when Prue was around dealing with all of this madness? I mean, do you see what I'm saying? I heard about these characters, and I was just like, explain Prue. Why did she die?
Of course. So the only thing that has gotten me through this over the years in my head is they were created after Prue died. They were a way for the elders to make sure that never happens again. That's the only way this could be a thing without it affecting, you know, the timeline.
And I think somebody has also said that to me as a theory. And the thing is that when you've got a storage unit that is carrying the Hollow and it is guarded by good and evil, you would think this neutral, like, organization, the cleaners, were there since the beginning. It just, like, Men in Black wasn't done because they fucked up one time. Like, I mean, of course, it had to start, but, like, I'm sorry, witches have been going on since the Warrens, right? Like, we should have done this by now. It's frustrating. But it's also, like, one of the best things, because I love these characters. I love the cleaners. I think they are so mysterious, and I just want to know so much more about them, that it's just frustrating but exciting at the same time.
It's those white suits. You're a sucker for a man in a white suit.
Oh my God, those white suits. I don't know what it was. The white suits was doing it for me. I really thought they just looked super professional. They looked very, like, threatening but very serious, right?
Yes, yes.
And nothing says serious than when Leo comes in and was like, yeah, they're going to kidnap the baby and I can't do anything about it. Like, what do you say to that?
Wow, yes.
Like, that's heavy. But didn't you love the fact how the second cleaner just held up the baby like, ha ha, finders keepers. Did you see how he just presented Wyatt like, ha ha, I got him? Did you notice that?
Right, and then, I mean, we'll go on, but when they take Wyatt too, I was thinking the same thing. We could hear him, but what is he holding him the whole time? That cleaner, he just fades off and he's holding Wyatt. He's just in the void somewhere.
Probably. It's just, the other thing is like, okay, let's fix this issue. Let's take away the baby, your memories, the toys, the playpen. But yes. Yeah, let's not heal Phoebe's scar to remind her that she has some investigating to do. I mean, what's that about? Like, right. Oh, you only run. And what was also a little confusing was that even though that a baby wasn't supposed to exist, Leo was supposed to become an elder anyway and have an estranged marriage with Piper. Like, you would think that with Wyatt gone, more things would have changed, especially yes, their relationship.
I totally agree.
So, but I know that the Titans and what happened had nothing to do with the baby, but at the same time, it's like a big thing about Leo leaving was the fact that Wyatt doesn't have his father here. So it's like they're still having issues even though the baby doesn't exist. That's kind of crazy. Correct me if I'm wrong. But did we love Paige's white apron / dress with the green stripes and her hair all pinned up? I kind of loved it.
I love Paige and everything. I feel like she can pull. If the only sister that could pull this look off, this is a Paige dress, 100%.
I really like this look on her when they're in the kitchen talking and whatnot. And so we also see, you know, little clues here and there are coming in, right? Like, Piper is being very maternal, and she knows the difference between a carousel and a merry-go-round. So here's the thing. Ryan, I don't know if you need a kid to know the difference, but do you know the difference between a carousel and a merry-go-round?
Okay, so does one have strictly horses, and the other one has multiple animals, like it's a zoo, like the zebras and the giraffes? That's the only thing I can think of that's a difference.
According to Piper, carousels specifically only have horses, and merry-go-rounds have all other stuff. But, you know, I had to do a little bit of research on this, so I did find a little something. I want to read some stuff here. So, apparently, a carousel only has horses, while I said merry-go-round has both horses and other animals. Even fictional ones such as a grand carousel, Great America, like dragons and unicorns, right? A carousel only displays white lights, while merry-go-rounds feature colored lights.
No kidding.
apparently. And the other difference that I saw that I thought was interesting was the direction. So apparently in the UK, or just in Europe in general, merry-go-rounds go clockwise. While in the United States, carousels, which I'm guessing also can include merry-go-rounds, go counterclockwise, which I didn't know. But there is a difference. I had no idea. And, you know, it took me forever when I was a kid to even get the difference between what a merry-go-round was and a Ferris wheel.
Oh, yes!
For a while, I always thought a Ferris wheel was the one with the horses and carousel was the merry-go-round was the Ferris wheel. Now there is a difference between merry-go-rounds and carousels, and I'm just all like bothered.
I wonder if one's smaller than the other as well. I feel like merry-go-rounds are smaller. I don't know if that's just in my head. I just put that in there.
So tell me if you remember in Teen Witch, was that a carousel or a merry-go-round?
That had to be a carousel.
I think I only saw horses in that movie, so
I know there was lights that go on magically. Speaking of witches,
we'll have to go back and see if it only displayed white lights, because then that'll tell you if it's a carousel or not.
Look at the knowledge you learn on this show too.
I mean, know, right?
Forget about it. So can I just say, rewatching this on the Peacock Network in HD is gorgeous.
It's beautiful, right? It's
so beautiful. Beautiful. So
it is.
Beautiful.
It is so good. It's so nice. I love it.
Especially since we're used to the DVDs or the TV / Netflix, you know, versions of this so, so good. I want them to release the Blu-rays after season two. Come on, CBS. The only other thing. So, okay, you mentioned Paige looking amazing earlier in the episode. Can we please talk about Phoebe? So Phoebe was in the basement working on her column. She doesn't want her powers to, you know, affect her sisters and her relationship. But she's wearing what I could only describe as a pink jumpsuit material half shirt with a clip-on white triangular hood with extra pink material on it. It's a Phoebe outfit. This is totally an Alyssa Phoebe outfit on Charm. No other person could pull this off.
It looks like something you would wear when you're out of your Power Rangers outfit and you still have...
Yes, yes, 100%. And you're wearing their colors.
Yeah, and they have to wear their colors. This is something that they would wear. No, I totally get it. I don't have a strong opinion on this outfit as you do, but I do see what you're saying. It is, you know, she's worn better.
I see. I think because of her haircut as well, it just is so dramatic. It just like stands out, this sharp collar. Anyone rewatching this episode, take a look. Look at that Phoebe outfit. Okay, so Paige has a new job as a receptionist, where a coworker named Flo has been fired by her male chauvinist boss because she wouldn't sleep with him. And she's mad at Paige, but she doesn't remember why. Also, Chris has a new charge, Natalie. But instead, he's drinking beer and has sex with her. And he's lost focus of why he has returned from the past, with Wyatt being now removed from existence. Leo is still suspicious of him, and Leo hears a baby crying and orbs away. Rob, I know your feelings about Chris. So we got to see Chris laying out in P3 in his boxers. Right? Like, I was not expecting that. I don't remember noticing this as much. I feel like back in the day, I don't know if the HD glory just stretched out this scene and we got a better look, but...
No, he was giving me legs. I loved it. Yeah, no, I mean, I think with the DVDs being in full, like, part of that might have been cut off. I don't know. But yes, he was serving
legs. Those long
legs
were trimmed.
Yeah, he... Yeah, he was definitely serving it. I totally love that. Chris is, again, another enigma to where if Wyatt didn't exist, why is he there? And it's not like magic would have just whisked him back, but it's just like... Yeah, let me just hang out in the past, even though I don't know why I'm here. It's a little weird and a little bit of a plot hole, but I think it's literal just memories. Everything else they remember except for that piece of information.
That's what I'm thinking too. I got from that too. So it's almost like, yes, he's here. They know he's from the future. They know he's a white lighter, but they don't know about the Wyatt situation.
So he sleeps with his charge. Is that a yay or nay? Is that a yay or nay?
First off, this girl...
Here's the thing, though. Here's the thing, though, Ryan, before you answer, because I know you, and you love you some bodyguard scenario. You love some... you are so for my bodyguard sleeping with me, blah, blah, blah. Like, you are so into that. So, technically, this is sort of the same kind of scenario. How do you feel about Chris sleeping with Natalie?
I have a lot of emotions for this. One being, I have in my head that Chris is gay. I'm sorry. And I've always thought that with Natalie as well, why does she come in with the gigantic man shirt, which you've mentioned on this show before? This is not Chris's shirt because he does not wear gigantic button-down shirts. So that was my first thing. Where did Natalie get this gigantic men's button-down?
Well, we can't hate. You know, it's gender neutral. She could totally wear that. We'd have to remember later in the episode if she comes in when she's
introduced. Oh, no,
because
I was looking because I'm looking at Chris, too, when they rewind time. And I'm like, he never wears button-downs. Sure enough. So this is evidently maybe Leo's that was left there, possibly.
She went into, like, a bartender's locker and stole it or something. Maybe it's an employee shirt or something. I don't know.
Oh, not only that, I just don't get there. I mean, yes, Natalie, it's just a plot point, but
not getting their connection. Don't okay. see it. Don't see
but,
it.
But do you disapprove of him sleeping with a charge?
This fast, yes. I will say, get learn her magic first. See what she's got going on. How she fights demons. We know nothing about Natalie.
That's
neither does Chris. So I
say that if it's consensual, go for it. If you believe it's not going to affect the relationship, go for it. It's whatever. It is against the rules, so whatever. But like,
which Chris says, you should talk, Leo. Oh,
I know. I mean, yeah. Thank God I never, ever had a boss like Pages and Flo's. Like, he was terrible. Like, we can talk about that chauvinistic guy at the social, you know, the social services place she worked at. This dude is horrible and so blatantly obvious. Like, I don't know if it's because of its time that Flo wasn't that person to just go to HR. You know,
this is totally, yes, this is a 2000s moment. This, I hope that this wouldn't happen anymore in this way.
Yeah. It's so crazy that, you know, she also gets fired. She's disappointed. I'm like, all you got to do is sue, baby, and you'll own that entire building. Like, it was just crazy the way this storyline was. But, you know, like, if this is how it was back then, I mean, take note. You know, Rose McGowan goes on and on about this type of shit.
That's
like,
exactly. This was, you know, perfect for Paige, knowing Rose's real life history. I wonder if she had a part in that.
She might have. She might have. But yeah, this was pretty crazy. What do you think about risking your job for someone else and possibly losing your job to defend sexual harassment? Like, do you put your foot out there even though you haven't been sort of the victim? Like, yes, you back them up, you be there for them, but do you go as far as risking your job? I mean, I think Paige, all she wanted to do was just go in there and be witness so nothing would happen. But I don't think they were both going to go in there charging, like, how dare you touch me or whatever. But, like, what do you think about, like...
Right. And then after this, when Paige wasn't around, what was this woman going to do? So yeah, that would have been an issue afterwards. But, yeah... So with in Paige's sense, I don't believe that she cares because she's going into these temp jobs looking for magical reasons. So, and especially because she loves to help innocents, this would be natural for Paige. This is right up her alley.
Yeah.
I will say, in a normal situation, in real life, when you're at a job, I hope that, and I've never been in this situation, but I hope that I would be stand up enough to help defend. And I believe that I would always, especially if someone came to me, I would definitely make sure that they were taken care of, felt okay. And, you know, if they didn't want to go to somebody and if they wanted me to communicate it for them, I would do that. And thankfully never had that happen. What about you, Rob? What would you do in this situation?
I would love to say that I would be brave enough and strong enough to stand up to someone for the help of another who was experiencing sexual harassment. I don't know. We'll have to see when it happens. I mean, it's never happened to me before, but I would like to say that I can be there for them in some shape or form. Like, I would never just pick a side just to keep my job, you know, to stay out of it. Maybe it's none of my business. It just really depends on
matter
the situation.
Matter of fact, I've had the opposite. Everyone's having sex at the job and they're not supposed to.
Right. So Phoebe is in Elisa's office and is being scolded about an incident the previous day. So I love this. I love that Elise, and this is the Elise I love, is when she humbles Phoebe. Ever since Jason Dean took over, she has just been doing whatever the hell she wants. And it's like, it's kind of gotten on my nerves, to be honest. And then Elise sets her straight. Elise really always sets her straight. Like, you are not, like, there is somebody above you, chick. And I love it. So she's like, do you know what happened or whatever? And then she's like, you know, I'm doing all that I can not to, you know, do a lawsuit. And then Phoebe tries to intervene. And Elise is like, shut up. You know, like, shuts her up with a face. And I'm like, there you go, Elise. Let her know she is a fucking employee. Ugh.
I love when Paige says that earlier. She's like, I thought that's how Elise was when she does the phone call. Like, yeah, that's Elise. Don't mess with her.
Thank you. So Phoebe says she doesn't remember, and Elise claps her shoulder, and Phoebe gets a vision of a huge brawl in the office. Phoebe gets a vision. I feel like there should be like some kind of song or just triumphant transition sound whenever she does a premonition, because
another jingle, a different kind of jingle sound.
We just do not get them, so we should praise every vision that she gets from here on out. But Piper helps a passing stranger calm his baby down, and the stranger asks her if she has any children, as she knew exactly what to do. But under the cleaner spell, Piper thinks that she doesn't have any children. So, first of all, I love when she walks into the office, and she sees all of these employees with all of these injuries. All of them are already in crutches and casts. I don't think you can get all of that within 24 hours. But, like, I love how much this paper is struggling to where none of these people feel like they can take a sick day, that they have to go to work with all of these bruises and injuries.
Only Phoebe gets away with this. Only Phoebe gets away with not coming in. They're all there with their bruises.
I cannot believe they all decided to go to work. I just could not believe this. Phoebe really should recognize how good she has it. She literally punches Elise in the face. And she's like, you're an asset to this paper. I know this isn't you. Your column is important to us. You punched your boss in the face.
I feel so bad for Phoebe in these, especially when you can't remember what you did. Wow, yeah. She punched her right in the face.
And she doesn't get fired. She still has a job. Like, I cannot believe this.
Phoebe must be selling the paper, because Phoebe can make her own schedule and do all these great things.
So crazy.
Inside the manor, Leo is staring at the closet. Piper tells Leo about hearing the baby. Leo says he heard it too. Phoebe tells her sister of her vision, and Paige reads a spell. Moments lost make witches wonder, warlock plot, or demon plunder. If this is not a prank, help us fill in the blanks. All of a sudden, it's raining. The cut on Phoebe's head is gone, and the sisters hear Wyatt crying. The sisters realize that the spell rewound the last day. They are now at the start of the timeline. Piper turns on the TV and leaves Wyatt alone in the room. Wyatt starts magically flipping the channels and sees a program with a large flying dragon. He orbs the dragon out of the screen and into the garden. The dragon knocks open the conservatory door and flies away before the sisters see it. I love this. I love when Piper says, I remember now, I'm a mom. So good. Like, I can just imagine how she feels when it comes back to her and like, how could I forget Wyatt? Rob.
What?
The dragon, Rob. Okay, so I was going into this hearing that CBS had redone a lot of the effects and everything. So prior to rewatching this in HD, I was like, how are they going to redo this effect? They're going to redo it. The dragon is not redone. But I came up with an explanation.
Okay.
Picture one of those sci-fi, cheesy, horrible sci-fi movies with the CG monster, right?
Yeah.
So if Wyatt brought that monster out of the movie, he's being authentic.
Right, to its material. Right.
That's the only thing I could think of to make this okay.
I will agree to that. That's a perfect explanation. The dragon, yes, definitely brought the show back to season two. And when Leo was staring into the closet, gazing, wondering what once was, this 2 to 3 o'clock shadow he had going on his, he just looks so damn handsome. Just this shot of him, it's like so close up, and he's just there with his dad face. And I'm just like, oh, you look good today.
He's continuing his look from last week. He's bringing it over. He's been a prisoner.
Phoebe is able to read Wyatt's feelings, and just being able to interpret that he doesn't like a specific stuffed animal, like, wouldn't that be so amazing to have that gift, to be able to feel what your baby's feeling and know, like, when a toy doesn't work in their favor or anything? I just think that's awesome. Like,
she says it's so cute too. We hate that bear.
I know. I love it. But I may not immediately think to do this because the sisters are recapping the day. They've decided they need to kind of retrace the steps exactly to figure out what happened. But if you know for a fact that the cleaners are after Wyatt and that it has something to do with him, maybe not leave him alone in the other room immediately when you get back. Like, he would be in my sight the entire time. Yes. I don't understand how it was so easy to leave him alone.
It was out of character for Piper. I noticed that was actually one of my notes. I'm shocked that she left him. I mean, I know it's to move on so the dragon can come on, but yes. Piper would have been holding that baby like, come for me. Come for me and my baby.
Yeah, that was a very odd choice, but, you know.
Rob, do you think that this was a very Prue-like idea when she demanded them to go through, when Paige told them to go through the day? Like, yes, Phoebe, you will be going to work. I will be going to work as well. We have to relive the day to figure out what happened. I immediately thought of Prue. It doesn't take much because she's my favorite, but I feel
this is definitely a Prue moment. I mean, Prue usually will be very demanding in the plan that she's come up with. I think it just makes sense that Paige is one to say it as well. Paige has always been this level-headed to get shit done. Yeah, no, it totally makes sense that this is definitely a Prue-like moment for her. So Leo has assigned Chris his new charge, and this is, again, as they're recapping the day. Because for a moment there, I'm like, he already slept with her. Who was he introducing to? And I'm like, oh yeah, the day reset. I completely forgot. So Chris is unwilling until she turns out to be blonde and cute. Phoebe enters the office, and Elise follow, arguing with Frank. Phoebe slugs Elise, channeling Frank's anger, and starts a brawl. Paige and Flo talk about their boss's advances on Flo. A man, distracted, bumps into Paige and spills coffee on her. He was so adorable.
That was a Rob guy. I know. 100%. Yes,
he's adorable. I looked him up, actually, and it turns out that this actor, Andrew Revel, he played one of the employees at the Double Meat Palace on Buffy. His name was Timmy. But yeah, I did find him adorable. Sorry, just going to put that out there. Can't help it. He tells her, hardly believing it, that he has seen a dragon out of the window. And this is when Paige actually sees the dragon this time. And she's like, oh, this is not good. Paige goes to Phoebe's office and finds the brawl still in progress. Paige pulls Phoebe away and tells her about the dragon and why it has orbed Piper to a tunnel. And Paige and Phoebe orb over just as the dragon blasts the tunnel with fire. Ryan, did this tunnel look familiar to you? This location where the dragon made its appearance in front of the sisters, did it look familiar to you at all?
One of those big tunnels always look familiar when they have like that dome kind of shape, but honestly, where it looks familiar to me is from this episode. I think of this episode and I think of that tunnel, but I'm sure it's part of pop culture history.
It definitely is, and we will reveal that towards the end of the episode. Remember that.
I just want to say, during the fight, did you notice that one guy, Rob, that he's an older guy and he kicks the woman on the desk backwards? Like, he lifts his leg behind his head. I'm like, damn, he's got a lot of those two, you know, they've had history.
There was a lot of choreographing going on with this fight scene. It was very well done.
Okay, so the cleaners appear in the manor. They explain that they cover up magic when it is exposed. They offer the sisters a chance to take care of the problem, implying that they will also take Wyatt if they don't. Piper tells Leo about the dragon and the cleaners. Phoebe has a large empathy burst. of pain and fear and believes the dragon is attacking the people in the city. With Wyatt's help, they find the dragon. Paige orbs a scale off the hide for a potion, but it awakens and angers the dragon. Dun, dun, dun. Piper draws its attention, and Wyatt vanquishes the dragon, which threatens Piper. The cleaners appear, and the open scene repeats. They take Wyatt and morph the room, but this time the sisters remember. Thank God. I am so glad that they remembered the spell worked. We didn't have to go through them reliving the day again, as many TV shows do and as Charmed has done before. Love that they remember, and they're going right to it. They're like, nope.
It's funny that they managed to make the exact same mistakes, even though they tried to prevent it. You know, it just says a lot about that whole destiny fate sort of thing.
Right.
And no matter what you do, no matter how many changes, things usually just end up the way they're supposed to be. But again, I'm going to reiterate, not going to lie, the white suits are fire. They're just total fire. I love it. I just love how they look in them. They just look so cool.
And also with the white suits, I don't know if it's the HD, but I'm seeing Charmed in a whole new light, and I'm seeing Second Cleaner in a whole other light. Like,
oh, really?
Not, I mean, I know we're going to do a Hot Man meter later, but the white suits and Mr. Cleaner in the back, Second Cleaner, hello.
So Piper took a huge, huge risk here with this maternal instinct and this bond that she has with Wyatt, and decided to make a plan to stand in front of the dragon and make Wyatt choose.
Yes.
And I love this line too. She's like, well, I was hoping that Wyatt didn't want anything bad to happen to me. You know, but it's funny too, because babies usually are the first to like grab noses and hit people and all of this stuff.
Little violent things.
Yeah, right? So I love this. I mean, obviously Wyatt is ahead of his time. So he obviously thinks ahead and was like, yeah, I don't want this dragon hurting my mama. But I just found that to be super risky. But it was also a very, very sweet moment that he actually would protect his mom at all costs. I mean, yes. He didn't hesitate at all to get rid of the dragon, right? Didn't you find it funny that as the dragon sort of evaporated, Piper just suddenly slid back on hard concrete with like dust stuff all on the ground from like the you know, charred vehicles and everything, and she just happened to slide. Pants didn't rip, nothing. Well, if you tune in just a little closer, she's clearly rolling back on some kind of mobile device, most likely a skateboard. And you
oh
can actually.
Oh my God, I missed that.
Well, you can't see it, of course, but you can actually hear the skateboard as she's rolling back to her sisters. It's so clear as day.
That is amazing.
It's, yeah, pretty crazy, right?
Because she flew back. It was perfect. The way she came back to them, it looked seamlessly.
So Piper proposes to draw the cleaners out by doing some magic on their own. Paige and Phoebe orb into a live newscast and perform some magic in public. The camera cuts to the Golden Gate Bridge, and Piper makes it vanish with that overdone spell. If I have to hear that, take a drink every time you hear this spell. My
right?
goodness.
I'm surprised it's not Paige. That's her to-go-to
that
spell.
That is her The cleaners appear to them, and the sisters demand Wyatt's return, threatening them to continue to expose magic if they don't return him. The cleaners return Wyatt's sense. If they erase the charm ones from existence, this could hardly be a considered neutral, right? So at Phoebe's request, they also erase the office riot. Flo, instead of rejecting her boss's advances as they meet in his office, proposes to get horizontal with him right there in the office. The boss is all ears, and then Flo orbs a flower pot into his head. He had it coming. And then Flo morphs into Paige as she has the power of glamour and is met at the door by the real Flo, who thanks her for whatever she did. So one thing that I'll say immediately, because this is just so classic Charmed, you went through this whole process of what happens when you expose magic. And what does Paige do? Orb a flower pot, hits her boss over her head. and then morphs into herself while he's in the room. I mean, did you not learn anything in the last 5 minutes? It's just ridiculous how so casual she used her powers again in public.
You know what? The only explanation I have for that is that he's quote unquote knocked out and he wouldn't notice it. But you're so right. You're so right. It's one of those poorly written moments.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. This looming threat and warning from the cleaners, right? I would have loved to have seen them again. Just that whole warning, like, be careful next time. You know, like, this is your warning. You know, we'll be back if we have to. Like, it would have been so great to see the cleaners again. Just for a possibility of just... because I just think they're so interesting characters. When Piper made the Golden Gate Bridge disappear, do you think that she technically killed anyone who was on the bridge?
You know what? This is a good question. Because what do you think the spell does, Rob? Do you think, meaning the object of objection becomes what a dream? So she causes, like, that woman that she did Paige back in season 4, where she fixes her face before the court date. Is it just a physical correction and invisibility?
I see what you're saying.
Does, like, the actual thing disappear? Like, what is your take on that?
So you're saying it went invisible as opposed to just disappear entirely. Right. I don't know. But I do see what you're saying, because the glamour would have had to have worn off and the woman's bruises would still be there.
Right, right.
Unless she has a permanent glamour on her face. So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's the thought process when you're saying the spell. Glamoring, to me, it seemed like she didn't heal her, right? So the spell doesn't necessarily take the wounds away. You would think they would still be there, and who knows, because we never saw her again. But I think, to your point, you probably have more, your explanation makes more sense than it actually going away. It just became invisible.
But then what about her friend? Speaking against Paige, she asked Piper, right, when she uses the spell for personal gain, if she can let her friend stay quote unquote cute with his acne scars. So that's a permanent
I guess
a permanent spell. And they've also, I just want to add, they've also used the spell to fix up, you know, apartments. So, like, does the stuff stay on the floor, the rubble? And you're just seeing a beautiful apartment? I never understood, but
I'm probably thinking too much about this, but, you know.
But you're thinking, I get it. I've had these questions.
So even to your show, Radical Retro, right? So you guys just did Teen Witch. And she makes David disappear by wishing that he'd leave her alone. He disappears, glasses on the floor. Where does he go? Does he die? Where does he go?
I think that's the thing.
Yeah. And so that's why, to me, I was like, does she just kill anybody who was currently on that bridge at the time?
She sent them to Timbuktu.
Okay. So last thing that I'll say is this inspired another very trivial question, and another WWPD, what would Prue do?
Not that I can protect myself. I mean, I have something that they don't have. Something that guns can't even compete with.
Okay, for this particular situation, this comes to the point of the cleaners coming back and fixing the exposure the second time because the sisters decided to do magic in public. Now, Piper was shot and all hell breaks loose, right? So, of course, she went through a lot of pain. But Phoebe was missing the whole time. She was down in the underworld. Prue was the only one to really experience a lot of what happened between the town and it being exposed and her going through the motions at the hospital and all of that. You know, she had to attack everybody to get them to move. I think that she experienced this exposure more than the other sisters. If she was alive, Ryan, do you think that she would agree to Piper's plan to just go out and expose magic the way that they did? Because they could easily have turned it into another all hells break loose. You know, she could have had PTSD from this. Do you think that Prue would have agreed to this plan?
Well, I wonder if they would have brought back Prue if she had survived with Tempest again, and then she would have forgotten. But to your point, if it was just Leo healing her and she, you know, she survived after that, what a great question. I honestly feel like Prue would have talked the cleaners down. You know how she came after death? You
know, yeah, but like, she didn't win, though. But that's the thing. She didn't win. She was convinced that her ideals were wrong. And sometimes she is wrong. And she doesn't.
Never. No. Never. No, no, no. You're right. You're right.
I don't know about this. To me, I feel that, I mean, and if this was a longer episode, I think the show would at least would have to explore her reservations. I don't think it would have been such an easy yes to just be like, yeah, let's go out and just do magic in front of people to bring the cleaners back. Like, I don't think that that would be an easy way to go from her. I think she would fight on this plan before eventually agreeing to it.
You're right. You're right. The only thing I will say is I feel like she, if out of any of them, would have been the aunt. Like, if she was alive with Wyatt, I believe she would have done anything for that child. Like, not that Paige and Phoebe haven't, but you know Prue's character. I feel like that would have just totally went to her. She would have been like, yes, we have to do anything. Because I'm almost thinking about when she was willing to expose magic to the reporter in season one with Andy with the Grimlocks.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder if she would have just been like in the moment, like, okay, we'll figure it out later just to get Wyatt back. But you're right. Maybe by this point, season six, Prue would have really learned a few more lessons and would have been saying, yeah, Piper, we have to come up with another plan. But I do think she would have did whatever it takes.
This concludes our episode, Forget Me Not. So, Ryan, being a complete fan of this show, you are rewatching this. Did anything stand out differently to the point of, did it make it better? Did it make it worse? You are now watching it in more of an analytical point of view. You're not just enjoying it. Like, how was it rewatching it in this type of format?
I loved it. I loved it. And I will say, I know Charm's flaws. And I will highlight them when I see them. But I gotta say, it's just so enjoyable. Every episode is so enjoyable. And this, watching it again in this way, I was watching it even more intensely. And I'm looking for those subtle things. I'm looking for things that they say. And I enjoyed it immensely rewatching it.
Very good. Very good. This is one of my favorite episodes of season six. And I again, just the introduction of the cleaners just brings a whole new dynamic to the idea of exposing magic and how it's worked and how deep this magical world is. Just, again, the frustration of characters that does exist to do the very thing that should have happened in season three just irks me so much.
Well, they mentioned that you were able to get yourselves out of this in the past as like a throwaway line of why they haven't been here. But you're right. The biggest one, unless the elders and everyone were trying to test them at that point, to see if they could handle it still.
The other thing is the fact that if this had happened in season four, and, you know, no disrespect to Paige, but if Piper was really still in her feelings about losing Prue, that would be the first thing out of my mouth if I found out the cleaners were real. Leo, if you know who the fuck the cleaners are and you didn't do anything about this, like, that would have been the first thing.
Because Leo knows about them. Is that because he's an elder, though? Or is that
I think because of the whole neutral thing. Like, if they had intervened, they would have pushed more towards the good side.
Oh, I would have been so pissed. Now you're making me angry for Piper now, too, right? Because I'm thinking.
But that's the thing. Yeah. That they have to be neutral. They can't intervene. It, you know, saving a sister but not saving a demon who died on Tuesday, they're not neutral, so they can't help in that way. But it still pisses me off.
Right, you're right, because that is their biggest moment of exposure that had the biggest repercussion. So yeah, now I'm getting even upset. Yeah, more and more upset.
And the other thing is that the cleaners could have come before it escalated, before Piper was shot, or, you know, Shax winning. It's just, I don't know. It just brings a whole nother thing. And I had hoped that they would work more into why they didn't do this for Prue. Episode is great. Lots of action. I love how cute Wyatt is in this episode. He is now a contender for most adorable, to be honest. I just find him to be adorable, especially when he was changing the TV. I just thought that was pretty cute. And I will say this, Natalie is definitely a contender for hottest female. I think she is a gorgeous woman. I really do.
But just not Chris's type. No, she was a very, very pretty one.
All right, so notes for this episode that I found interesting. The WB promo title for this episode is called Dragon's Heat.
They have the worst. I remember Womp. All of these.
Womp. I did not like this title.
Dragon's Heat. Come yeah. on. That's like the mummies. What did they call the mummy episode in this? God. They I'm always have everything like WB. Add hot to it. Women, which is hot. For leather on next Sunday's Charmed. It's always hot, witches.
So the title, Forget Me Not, is likely a reference to the Myosotis, a flower also known as the Forget Me Not. It is also the title of several movies and songs. So here is my little preview that I told you about the tunnel. So the tunnel that the dragon flies out is the same tunnel that was used in season 5, episode Underneath, on the TV show Angel.
It just hit me. Yep.
Okay. Oh, but it was also used in Who Framed Roger Rabbit. Do you remember the tunnel into Toontown?
Oh my God.
Yes. It's the same tunnel, because I remember that little curve in the intersection where the taxi came out and hit the street light and they all fell into the mud. All of that was right there.
Where is this tunnel?
In a climactic scene at the end of Back to the Future Part 2.
Oh my God.
So this tunnel has to be somewhere. I'm going to look it up and I'm going to go. I have to try and find this tunnel, because that would be amazing. But yeah.
And then we can add a little dragon coming out and with you. Right. Terrible yeah. CGI dragon, a matter
yeah.
of
fact. So Phoebe locking herself in the basement is very similar to when Prue received her power of empathy and hid there as well. Piper also refused to leave the basement at one point when she could not control her power of blowing things up, molecular combustion. In the episode, Look Who's Barking. So the basement is very sanctuary for blocking powers. This is my most interesting trivia bit. This is the first and only episode in the series in which Phoebe uses all three of her active powers. Premonition, levitation, and empathy.
And boy, Rob, did she levitate. She went up in this episode, up into the rafters.
I love how she carried that news anchor and just like, yes, she used all three of her powers. This is the Phoebe we want.
Kicking ass. We're simply the best.
Not there yet.
MVP? Getting...
No, not yet. We're not there yet. It's time for your first Hot Man Meter. Usually I get Hot Man Meter lists from you each season, so I know you've been keeping up since the first episode of season 6, so why don't you let the listeners know who is currently on your Hot Man Meter at this point, after episode 1 and 2?
Why, yes. Okay. First coming in at number 1, we have Mr. Leo Wyatt.
Ooh, Leo, okay.
I mean... the boring answer, but he's, you know, elder Leo now. He is in charge, and he is getting that 3 o'clock shadow, like you said. Number 2, another man with different facial hair this year, Mr. Daryl Morris.
Daryl, very cool. Nice, he's made your list.
Number 3, Chris Perry. Gotta give it to him. Back in the day, I thought he was adorable. And there's one more that made my list, but I would say he is at the end of my list.
Okay.
I have him at number 10.
Oh, so you jump ahead. You don't keep
I don't know, like, order. I mean, because you guys go in order, but I'm thinking ahead. Knowing this season, I'm putting Mr. Oscar the Dog in at number 10, Joe Millionaire, that I want to keep calling Joe Dirt for some reason.
Yeah, Evan Marriott. Okay, so Oscar made your list. Okay, very cool. Now, let's go through today's Hot Man Meter contestants. Let's do the cleaners first. Cleaner 1 and Cleaner 2, played by Kirk B.R. Waller and Darren Cooper. Ryan, do any of these cleaners make your list?
I can't believe I'm saying this. I hated these characters. But yes, who is cleaner number two? Darren?
Darren, yes.
I can't believe I'm putting cleaner number two on my list. I think I'm the only person who's going to have a cleaner, but we're going to put cleaner number two on my list. And I'm putting I'm putting him above Oscar the dog.
Okay.
Number nine.
So I thought the talkative one, the one that wouldn't shut up, the cleaner number one, I thought he was very handsome in this episode. And I even looked him up and I like the bald, the bald head. He looked great in the suit.
Both cleaners had that, like, that bald going on, I feel like. Yeah. That's part of the job. Mr. Clean is one of them as well. Didn't you know?
But I thought he was very handsome. But I have a feeling that because it's so early, that he will eventually not be on the end of the list. So I am not going to add him, but I am saying right now, he is a very handsome man. All right, next we have Mr. Stewick, and this is played by Scott Clace. This is our boss at the temp job that Paige was at. What do you think of this sexist pig? Does he do it for you? You like that boss employee come do me on my desk scenario? Come on, I know you like that. Does he make your list?
Wow, if it wasn't as forceful. Now, if it wasn't with threat of being fired, I think because of his attitude and what he did, I can just see this man as a dog. No. So he is not making my list.
Okay. He's not making my list either. I just don't find him that attractive just at all. So we'll move on. Then we have our weatherman. This is played by Rick Hall. He's the one that was levitated into the air towards the end. Does weatherman do it for you?
He does not, but, you know, decent looking. I feel bad putting them down, but yeah, no, does not make my list.
All right, not your type, not mine either. He's not making my list. What about Frank? Now, Frank is played by Christian Kieber. He is the gentleman at the Bay Mirror who wants to hit Elise across the face, and then Phoebe does it for him. What do you think about this rambunctious employee reporter at work?
You know what? He does not stick out to me for some reason. I'm drawing a blank, so that usually means I can't put him on my list because he ain't making my memory.
Yeah, there was like another employee or two in the background who didn't get a speaking role. Some of them were cute, but Frank is not one of them. Not putting him on my list either. Then we have Paige's coworker, played by Andrew Revel, our tall, slim-looking dragon watching coworker. What do you think? Does this coworker make your list?
While I agree with Rob that this man is very adorable, I know what is coming ahead in season 6, so I got a full meter ahead. I can't add another man. No, he is not making my list. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Andrew is definitely on my adorable possibility. He's not making my hot man meter, but you look good. You look good, coworker. They didn't give him a name. Sorry.
Dragon Man.
Last but not least, we have our overwhelmed father, played by Michael Manuel, the adorable father, handling as best he can. He just seemed so sweet. He had this very warm heart to him, and he could have been like, back off, white girl. I don't need your help. Go away. You know, he was a nice guy. What do you think about this overwhelmed father?
I do have a thing for men with children and that they treat them right. I don't know. Ever since I was younger, throw a baby in a man's arm. But again, I have to decline only because
we only get 10 spots. Yeah. I totally get it.
Although I thought he was going to ask Piper out. You're a mom? Well, oh, no. I need one.
Yeah, I'm going to pass on him too. So it seems that no one was added to the hot man meter this week, but we have so many more episodes to come. We're still very early in the season. Get those hot man meters updated. Keep up if you do in each episode, it'll be a lot easier to update. And by the end of the season, I'm going to ask for those lists to be turned in so I can build a Charmy Hotman meter based on your choices and taste and dudes.
My favorite part is seeing how Rob puts them, what they look like in Charmed, and then seeing them currently. I honestly do really like that because you get an idea of what you would have been stuck with when you married them back in the day.
he uses the term stuck. No, I love seeing what they look like now. I always do that. Anytime I see somebody, I'm like, ooh, let me look him up, see what he looks like.
But you know what? And most of them are still great. I mean, if you're good looking, you're always going to be good looking. People age. Well, some people age like wine.
Yeah. Now it's time for your very first MVP. You're sampling the best. All right. So, Ryan, we changed it up a little bit. I know you wanted to say it. Go ahead. Say it.
You're simply the best.
Okay. We changed up MVP a little bit, as you heard from our second episode. Sometimes an episode doesn't really have a standout character, a standout moment, or a person. But if so, did anyone become an MVP this week for you?
Yes. And I do like that new formula, because there's sometimes you're like, no, I'm not feeling all of the, I'm not feeling these sisters today. But Piper, in that very scene that spoke to you earlier, where she goes to confront the dragon in hopes that Wyatt will stop mommy from being killed. When you said that, I'm thinking, oh my God, Piper's a badass there. She's doing it for her child. And I have to say, she makes MVP for me this week.
Okay, very good. For me, I would definitely give Piper the play of the week. Like, she definitely had that event. But I would say for MVP, I was very, very proud of Elise today.
Oh, yes, Elise.
I really was, honestly. Just, again, making sure to put putting Phoebe in her place when she needs it. I just love that she is still that stern boss that we know and love. Again, very forgiving. But that meeting and just being like, zip it, I'm talking, shut up. I just love that. And I'm giving it to her. She took a blow to the face, and she still feels superior.
Yeah, she's willing to keep Phoebe with after getting a black eye just to keep her on that damn column.
I'm giving it to Elise. Elise did what she had to do for her paper, so I totally get it. So
I love that Elise got that. Yeah. That made my day. I love that Elise gets something, because I love Elise. I don't know why. I love to hate her. But I don't mean her.
All right, Ryan, we did it. We made it through our first episode. How are you feeling about this?
I had such a blast. I love talking Charmed. I love talking Charmed with you. I'm hoping the viewers at home had an amazing time as well.
Next week on Charmed, The Power of Three Blondes. Now, without any spoilers, Ryan, yay or nay, do you remember liking this episode?
Yes.
Do you have any memory of this episode?
1,000%.
1,000%.
I can picture the whole thing in my head right now.
I don't know how you're going to feel, but for me, I really enjoy this episode. And to me, I think this is one of those villains that I think stands out so much on getting so close to their goal. I gotta put them up on a pedestal. And you'll hear more about that when we come back with an all new episode. Thank you all again for listening to this episode this week, and for believing in this venture, and for sticking with Brunch with the Hollowells. We hope that the rest of this season goes very, very well, and I am excited to do the rest of the season. Enjoy your Sunday brunch, Charmies.
Bye, Charmies.
Oh. WB's Big Sunday, Attack of the Dirty Blondes.
Oh, yeah.
Their roots are more than evil.
Check out that dye job.
How dare you!
Jenny McCarthy guest stars.
Huh? Slut.
An all-new charm, Dirty Blondes.